From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The city of Sacramento faced a $62 million deficit at the start of the year, which came with the possibility of layoffs for the first time in more than a decade. In the weeks since, passionate city council meetings debated the best way to close that gap and what financial priorities should rise to the top. On Tuesday, the city council and mayor adopted a nearly $1.7 billion budget without letting go of any city employees. But the budget challenges are not over. The city's deficit is a structural one, meaning that spending exceeds revenue as opposed to being shaped by the economy, and a shortfall of a similar size or even larger potentially is projected next fiscal year. Mayor Kevin McCarty joins us with the decisions and financial priorities ultimately made to close the shortfall, as well as how they're planning for the city's long-term fiscal health. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for welcoming us here today.
Well, Mayor McCarty, you've only been in the mayor's office now for about half a year, but you've been a Sacramento City Council member in the past, including during trying financial times. How do you think the city got itself into a structural deficit, spending more than revenue generated?
Yeah, well, I was a city council member for 10 years, over a decade ago, and I did go through that tough time you mentioned in the intro, when we had to make reductions and lay off police and fire personnel and close swimming pools and parks. And that was very, very difficult and painful. And that was during the Great Recession, when we faced, you know, double-digit unemployment, as we remember here in Sacramento, massive foreclosures, you know, really big pain for a lot of people, massive drops in property tax revenue. So it does make you scratch your head. It made me scratch my head running for office that we're not in a recession. We haven't seen a decline in revenue for the city of Sacramento. We've seen a drop in the growth, but we're not in the negative, and we face these deficits. So, you know, it really made me scratch my head that we need to right size the city. And we were, you know, approving expenditures through prior budgets that exceeded the revenues that we have coming in as far as the forecast. So it is a little bit troubling, and, you know, I'm inheriting it. We're moving forward.
Okay, well, let's focus on this current budget that the city council, including yourself, approved. The city did not lay anyone off and instead transitioned employees into other positions. What does that mean, and how does that save money?
Well, the big picture is that, you know, people count on their jobs to pay the rent or the mortgage, you know, take care of their family, buy food and medicine. And so we didn't want to tell somebody, hey, you know, employees dedicate their life to the city of Sacramento, you're fired. So we didn't have any actual layoffs, but we did eliminate dozens and dozens of positions, essentially vacancies. So that allowed us to take those positions out of the budget and save money. So as you noted, our deficit at the end when we started the budget process was roughly $40 million. It was about $60 million. But we were able to use one-time savings from the prior year to get it down to about 40. And we were able to kind of split that between increasing some fees and program fees and business fees, as well as making adjustments and getting rid of some of these vacancies in departments. But the big picture, you know, we were able to do so without, you know, dramatically impacting core city services. So by and large, residents shouldn't see much of a difference in you know, police response, fire response, you know, park programming, youth services. So we view that as a positive. But we have to look forward to, unfortunately, next year, where we have other issues to address, and it could potentially get worse depends on what happens at the federal level with our economy, with tariffs and so forth.
You mentioned that you were able to use some one-time use funding. You also eliminated vacant positions, also some city fee increases as well. Given that there's one-time use funding used to help prevent people from being laid off for this fiscal year, is that just kicking the can down the road?
It is. We were able to mitigate as much damage as we can this year. And certainly we hope for an economic rebound. You know, we hope to grow our economy, which is why I was excited this week to support the rail yards plan and get a soccer stadium under construction in a couple of weeks, because that's really how you address the budget issues, is grow our economy, getting more money into the city coffers, not less. So that's our long term perspective. But you're right. You know, we were able to take some of our our reserve and kind of one-time savings from this year's budget and, you know, buy down the pain that we had to face. But we could be looking at the same thing next year, and those vacancies aren't there. We'll have to go other areas. And, you know, we didn't want to impact response time for fire and police service. I know there was a call to do that and get rid of the vacancies in police, which really pay for overtime to keep the city department running on a daily basis, the police department, excuse me. So we'll have to have these same conversations next year.
We had Councilmember Mai Vang on Insight the morning of the budget vote. She was one of the two no votes on the budget among city council members. Lisa Kaplan was the other council member. And Councilmember Vang said in part in a statement that she emailed out that since she's been in office, the city council has voted to increase the police department's budget by $116 million. And she took that into account for her no vote. Do you take her criticisms to heart?
Well, if you look at, you know, the police department or the school districts, you know, their budgets have gone up. Why? Because employee compensation, you know, that's what it is. We haven't hired any new police officers. Most of that is through, you know, raises and benefits and health care. And some of that's through, you know, our contracting process that we have binding arbitration here in the city of Sacramento as well. So, you know, that's happening at school districts and police departments and, you know, hospital systems, the Cal State University system. So that's really kind of the cost of doing business when you have a large employer. We haven't increased, the big deal is we haven't increased police officers. I think that's what I always say is when I was on the city council 10 plus years ago, we had, you know, 75, 80,000 fewer people in the city of Sacramento. And we had, you know, roughly 70, 80 more police officers serving the community. So more people, fewer officers. And so I think we should be going the opposite direction. We should be increasing staffing. And you know, Mai Vang's correct. We have increased the budget since 2020, but it hasn't gone to bringing more police personnel in there. That's really about compensation.
That same morning, we also had the police union on, the Sacramento Police Officers Association, and he touched upon that too, about how there's less officers today than in prior years, despite the city of Sacramento growing in population size. They also said that they use those vacant positions because nearly two dozen were eliminated as part of to balance the budget, and that these vacant positions are used for overtime pay, and overtime pay has skyrocketed in the past decade. How are you going to manage that financially, given that it's an essential service? People are going to call 911 and need officers to respond.
Well, I think that you know, the police union representative it is correct. It is needed because if you didn't have this money through the vacancies, you wouldn't be able to pay officers to do a double shift. Essentially, every day we need a couple dozen people to answer the calls, to respond to 911 calls. We don't have enough people, so we have to have people come in and do overtime, your time and a half. And so, you know, if we took that money away, like some propose, we'd essentially be, you know, defunding police services. And I don't think that will make us safer. And by and large, as you know, I ran for mayor, knocked on thousands of doors and talked to thousands of people, and that's not the direction that the people of Sacramento wanted, and nor is something that I support. So I think we need to, you know, continue adequate funding, base level funding for our police and fire departments.
The other no vote, as I mentioned, was Councilmember Lisa Kaplan, arguing that the city needed to make deeper cuts to avoid a future deficit. And part of her quote was that the budget essentially is fake because if you look at the next fiscal year, there's upwards of $100 million budget shortfall projected. It could be around $60 million as well. Are any of these balancing strategies that took place this week and were agreed upon this week for this fiscal year, are they all one time, or do they address any of the challenges for future fiscal years?
No, they're all ongoing, but the problem compounds. And when you look at the revenue projections out there, they're not always pretty right now based upon what's happening on our economy. So, you know, these adjustments that we made will be there for the next year as well. You know, but for the $20 million that we saved in one time that we talked about out of the gate, which made the deficit from 60 to 40 million that we had to address. We like cities up and down the state of California, and the state of California, other states, you know, are facing these realities of increasing costs, you know, increasing liabilities, as well as, you know, the revenue picture, which again is why that, you know, one of my top priorities is how do we grow our economy so our revenues can match our expenditures.
You mentioned another key vote that took place on Tuesday, and that was for the Sacramento Republic FC Rail Yards Stadium. Now, that commits the city to paying more than $90 million in future tax revenue generated by the stadium and nearby entertainment center. Where does this fit into the overall fiscal health and stability of the city?
Well, it's a big piece of it, this was a really good deal for the city of Sacramento. As some of your listeners may know, I haven't always, you know, supported some of these public participation for arenas and stadiums, you know, with increased risk, which unfortunately you see with cities across the nation when they participate in helping build a stadium or an arena. You know, this one has zero impact on the general fund. We protect us, absolutely. And the key words that you said earlier are future revenues and generated by this project. So this is a vacant, you know, piece of dirt out in the rail yards, which has been vacant for 40 years. And there's really no plans or no viable way to build it without some type of help with infrastructure. So these are tax revenues that we're not getting unless something is generated there. So as there's a stadium, as there's hotel and housing out there, you know, the developer will get a rebate from what they generate in the future to help reimburse them for the roads that they build. So it's a casebook example of a good public-private partnership. And the flip side of this too is in addition to property taxes, there's sales tax and other economic activity in the rail yards, which is going to bring life and excitement to downtown, which we need, you know, help, you know, get more people on the streets and, you know, make it more a safer environment down here as well. You know, make it more appealing for people to come and locate in Sacramento and generate more revenue. So, you know, we spent the first portion of this, of course, talking about our budget woes, and this is a major piece as an economic driver to bring more money into the city coffers.
The same was said for Golden One Center and DOCO as well. And you were a large critic. You voted against what is now the King's home, the new arena, when you were a council member. That was also a public subsidy, a public-private partnership more than a decade ago. Did you learn something from that vote that shapes your support today of this new public subsidy for a soccer stadium, an entertainment center or venue?
Yeah, 100%. And this isn't a subsidy. That was, you know, we were subsidizing the building of the arena and had a clause in there where if the deal didn't pencil out, the city would be on the hook. And I went back and actually looked at my notes and my statement from 13 years ago. And one of the things that I said is, hey, what if it doesn't pencil out? Shouldn't the team and the company be on the hook, not the taxpayers in the city of Sacramento? And at the time, it's like, oh, don't worry, that'll never happen. And sure enough, unfortunately, you know, $4 million or so out of our general fund budget every year is paying the shortfall for that. So we wanted to make sure in this soccer deal, there was no tie to the city general fund. There'd be zero impact on that, which is clear. And this one says that as revenues are generated, there would be a rebate. So there is no direct subsidy. The team is paying 100% of the cost to build the stadium, which we think is fabulous. And, you know, we know it's going to be an amazing success out there. You know, plenty of support for professional soccer here in Sacramento. So this one really protects the taxpayers. As I said, I've seen not just here in Sacramento, risky taxpayer subsidies for professional sports. And this one, 100%, is not one of those risky deals.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sacramento Mayor Kevin McCarty about the budget, which was approved by the City Council this week. We only have a minute or two left, but I do want to address something that I know you're well aware of. There are ongoing immigration raids in Los Angeles. President Trump has deployed the military to respond to demonstrations, and Governor Newsom has condemned that, is suing the Trump administration, which a federal judge will actually be hearing today, this afternoon. There are, of course, immigrant and Latino communities here. Sacramento has reaffirmed since Trump's inauguration being a sanctuary city. What does that mean during a time like this?
Well, City of Sacramento, we're going to stand by our immigrant community like we have for 40 years. And, you know, we're watching this closely, what's happening in LA and California and across our country. And, you know, two things is one, you know, I and many others are disgusted seeing, you know, people who are immigrants who haven't been breaking laws. I mean, the president ran on this platform that he was going to focus on deporting violent and serious criminals who are here with undocumented status. And we've seen people who are gardeners and cooks, you know, selling tamales at the Walmart parking lot, and their crime is crossing the border illegally years ago, but they're not committing crimes or making us unsafe. They're contributing to our economy. Our kids are in schools. And so I think it tugs at our hearts to see that. And that because it was a bait and switch, because that's not what we heard when the president what was campaigning on. So that's, you know, very disturbing to so many of us. And, you know, not only and then seeing, you know, the military out here in our communities enforcing immigration, it really isn't something that we thought we'd see in our lifetimes. But also, you know, we want to note that if there are people who are protesting and using their First Amendment right to speak up, do so. But do not get violent. Do not cause problems in our communities, because, you know, we want to make sure we keep Sacramento safe and we uphold the law as well. So we're asking for peaceful protests as there's engagement.
What if you are part of that immigrant community and are afraid that something similar in terms of raids or ICE can come here to Sacramento? What conversations have you been having with city and county leaders, as well as local law enforcement, like the police department and sheriff's office?
Well, you know, we hear you. And we want to remind the public that our police department does not participate with ICE raids. Immigration is on their own. You know, they're an agency in the federal government. You know, they're going to do what they can do legally, and we can't interfere with that. But we're not certainly not helping them, but we're not prohibiting that. We're not, you know, stopping them from doing their job. And, you know, people who are, you know, swept up in this, we want to make sure that people have legal resources. There was an earmark in the budget this year of $500,000 to continue the fuel program to help people with immigration legal resources who need it. So, you know, we hear our community, and we're certainly monitoring this. And there's a lot of fear. I know, you know, my kids are in high school here, and they know people and families who come from households with mixed immigration status. And so, you know, a lot of people in our community know individuals or know families that could be, you know, involved in this. And again, you know, the thing that's most disturbing for so many of us, this isn't a go about going about arresting, you know, undocumented individual who did something heinous and sexual crime with a kid or violence and so forth. You know, there are countless examples of going to job sites and, you know, sweeping up people on their immigration status, and they're going to work. They're paying taxes. You know, they're doing jobs, frankly, that most Americans do not want to do. So, you know, that's a large conversation we need to have as well in this country.
Finally, as you know, the No Kings rally is planned on Saturday. That's in response to President Trump's military parade scheduled for Saturday, which is Flag Day, also his birthday. It's also Sacramento Pride, and that is taking place along Capitol Mall next to the demonstrations. If people want to head to downtown this weekend, there's going to be a lot of people. What would you like them to know?
Come on down. You know, we're a city that welcomes people's participation, First Amendment participation. We are the state capital. We have protests and rallies here on a daily basis almost. The Pride Parade is actually on Sunday, so it's the day after you know, the event on
But they
Saturday.
do have
So
a
it will.
festival too on Saturday.
That's true. That's true. So there will be a lot of people here, and it's everybody's welcome to come and share their perspective on the views of the day or stuff that they care about.
Mayor McCarty, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for inviting us.
And that is Sacramento Mayor Kevin McCarty. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.